Open your Bibles, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want us to really get into the mindset of something that Paul said here in Philippians. That if it can really get a hold of us, what he states here, if we can really look at our life the way he looked at his life and what God was doing through his life, I think it will change us drastically in every situation. Philippians 1 and verse, we're going to read one verse. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless in the message tonight. And Lord, I pray that your people tonight would see their life in the light of your word. And Lord, that everything that happens into our life as your people, Lord, are for many purposes indeed, but they're also for the purpose of the furtherance of the gospel. The people that come into contact of our life, Lord, each and every day, Lord, is for the furtherance of the gospel. The situations, the circumstances, the trials, the blessings are for the furtherance of the gospel. Help us to understand that and see and in every turn of our life as an opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. 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 I read this verse and I think, what a great outlook to have on your life. To be able to see your life and see God's hand working in your life in such a way to know that the things that happened to you, fallen out to you, have been for the furtherance of the gospel. What do you think our mindset would be like? What do you think our attitude would be like in every situation of our life if we truly believe that everything that happened to us, good and bad, was for the furtherance of the gospel? Well, we'd feel a whole lot better about things, wouldn't we? Amen. We'd feel a whole lot better about things. And before we get into Philippians here a little bit and some of the things Paul said, I want to just make a few statements here as we by way of introduction. First of all, our goal should always be to get the gospel of Christ out to others. That should be our goal. It should be our mission. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, what did he say? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that should be ingrained in our minds. That should touch our hearts. And that should be our meditation. We should get up each morning and God help us to have that in our minds. That God telling us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That needs to be ingrained within us when we go to the grocery store. You know, when we go to work, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, if God could bring that verse to us everywhere we went, every opportunity, that God would bring that to our minds. We should constantly be looking for opportunity of witness. Now, I believe sometimes we see opportunities and we don't take advantage of the opportunities, but let's be honest, sometimes we're not looking for the opportunities. Sometimes they may have came and went and we didn't even see them because we weren't looking for them. I remember there's been times, you know, in which you looked back upon a certain situation, you thought, you know what, I had an opportunity then to talk to him about the Lord and I didn't. But at the moment, you didn't see it. But then later, after the moment was gone, you thought, man, that would have been a good opportunity to talk to him. But you know, so what I knew about myself then was at that moment when I was talking to that person or whatever the situation was, I wasn't looking for the opportunity. So I missed the opportunity not because I neglected it, but because I didn't have eyes to see it. So we need to be in tune with the Spirit of God in our life and say, Lord, not only give me those opportunities, but let me see those opportunities so that I might seize those opportunities. Lord, let me see that I might seize and take advantage of those opportunities. Listen, we have a message that God has committed to us, a message from God to man. Think about that. God has given you a message to give to somebody else. The gospel has been entrusted to us. That's what Paul talks about, I think, in 1 Timothy. Paul said he has been entrusted with the gospel. Have you ever babysit anybody's kids before? When somebody gives you their kids, I mean, that's kind of a serious thing, isn't it? I mean, when somebody drops their kids off to your house, they are entrusting you with their children. And you take that pretty serious, don't you? Well, because we know how much they value their kids, and we value their kids, and we want to take care of their kids and do what's right. And God has taken the gospel, and He said, here you go. Yeah. Here it is.
Amen.
He's entrusted you with it, and He wants you to use it wisely and do with it as He would have you to do with it. You are entrusted with the gospel. Paul told those of Galatia, he said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. We have a message from God, not a message from man, but we have a message from God. God Almighty has committed you the gospel. He has commissioned you to go with that gospel and to tell people about Jesus Christ. I mean, what a responsibility, but yet what a joy and what a privilege, what an honor. I mean, somebody in high authority, in high authority wanted you to do something for them. You think, well, what an honor to serve such a person in such a high authority. I say the president right now, but that wouldn't feel too good. It wouldn't feel right in the message. But you know what I'm saying? Somebody in high authority, you think, well, what an honor. And we have a message from God. God has said, you go with the message to sinful man. You've got the message that will forgive sinners. You've got the message that will point people to Christ and point them on their way to heaven. You have the message. You have the words. God's given it to you. Why should we clam up? Why should we fear? I mean, we've got the greatest message in all the world. Man who is in enmity with God can be at peace with God. I believe each one of us as God's people, we have a ministry. And that's the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody has a ministry.
Amen.
And no matter what you may be doing in your ministry, whatever it is, it's a ministry of reconciliation. At least it should be. A ministry by which God is using you to reconcile man to God by pointing them to the only one that can reconcile them, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing we have.
Amen.
Now, us getting the gospel out is a sign. We mentioned this on the first night. Jim kind of scared me a little bit. It said, I was trying to remember what I preached the first night. I mean, I had flashbacks. I was like, oh my goodness, what did I preach? I thought he was getting ready to ask me. And I was running it through my head. And I was like, oh, I can't believe I've forgotten. And it came back to me. But if you'd asked me real quick, I'd have been like, I did remember, though. If the truth shall make men free, that was what it was about. But you had me scared there for a second. I thought you were going to ask me. But one thing we mentioned in that first message was how that if a church that truly has the Spirit of God is going to be a missionary church. Now, we can say amen to that, can't we? I mean, a church that has the Spirit of God is a missionary church.
Amen.
Now, do we just apply that theology? Is that just good preaching, or is that Bible, or does that apply to individuals also?
That's right. Amen.
Does that apply to individuals also? In Luke chapter 4, let's turn there if you would. And we'll come back to Philippians after a while and take a look a little bit at what Paul was talking about. In Philippians chapter 4, not Philippians, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and let's read verses 17 and 18. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Notice the Spirit of the Lord was upon him because he had anointed him to preach the gospel. You know, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord, as it came upon the church, it said in Acts 1:8, they were taught that when they would receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon them, and they shall be witnesses. He said, and the word actually says, and ye shall be witnesses. Each individual. Didn't wasn't talking necessarily just about the church, but ye shall be. And when you look at that, he's talking to them not only as a group, but also speaks of individuals. You, the church,
Amen.
Speaking to his disciples, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Listen, when we truly are walking in the Spirit of the Lord as God's people, we shall be witnesses. Listen, the work of the Spirit of God in our life is evident whenever we have a burning desire to tell people about Jesus Christ. You're not walking in the Spirit if you don't have a desire to tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God is obviously not working in power if we are not seeking to spread the gospel in our lives and in those around us. Now, getting the gospel out, of course, we ought to get the gospel out to others. It's a sign of the Spirit of God. But knowing this, the gospel, getting the gospel out is going to cost us, isn't it? Oh, it's going to cost us. In Mark chapter 8, you know, when you really value something, you really like something, and it may cost you a little bit, but because you like it, because you love it, you'll pay it. I mean, there's some guys that will pay a lot of money for some things. I think there's no way I'd pay that kind of money for that. But you know what? It's something they like. It's something they enjoy. And, you know, some guys may spend a lot of money on certain things, like on cars or whatever. That's what they like. It's what they enjoy. You may like to golf. I just now started golfing a little bit this year. But, man, I can't believe some of the prices people pay for golf clubs. But because they really enjoy that, and they want to try to get better at it, you know. And they like it. And same goes with hunting or fishing, or if you really like clothes or whatever it might be. You might be willing to spend a little more, to give a little more, because it's something you like, it's something you enjoy, it's something you value. But you know what? What are we willing to spend for the gospel?
Right.
What are we willing to spend? What are we willing to give? Oh, I'll give my 10%. I bet you we give 10% to more than other things in our life. I bet you give more than 10% to food. I bet you give more than 10%, you know, on your house. The average person gets 25% just on their house payment. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a house. I'm not saying you shouldn't eat. But I'm just saying, what are we willing to spend? Okay, financially, we give the church 10%. Well, how much of that goes towards, you know, spreading the gospel? And another side, what are we willing to spend as far as our life goes? Our time goes. Are we willing to spend our time for the gospel? Are we willing to give our time? You know, maybe you don't have a lot of money. That's okay. But are you willing to give? You know, God isn't interested in how much you give, so far as in, you know, whether it be $1 or $10. But what He's really wanting is all of you.
Amen.
And everybody can give that. It's going to take some self-denial, though, to really follow the Lord and to get the gospel out. And that's really the problem, is we're so busy, we're so caught up with the world and our own life and our own time, we're not willing to spend much to get it out. Not willing to take that extra time to take and drive across town to go talk to somebody that's been on our heart and mind. We're not willing to spend the gas money, you know, to go on the other side of town to talk to somebody. Or not willing to spend enough money for a stamp to mail somebody a card that may have a gospel track in it. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 and 35, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Listen, if you're truly going to follow Christ, you're going to have to deny yourself. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." When we lose our life for the gospel, and our life is about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that came into the world and died for sinners, when our life is about the message of the gospel, and our life is being spent for the gospel, that's when we shall truly find real living. We think we're saving our life, and we think that we're doing good for our life, and we think we're going to be happier by doing what the flesh wants and all of that. But where we're truly, as the children of God, going to be our happiest is when we give our all for Christ. Listen, Christ gave His all for us. He's our all in all. He went to the cross and bore our sin debt and died on that old rugged cross and gave us eternal life. He deserves everything we have. He deserves our all of our affections, all of our time. I mean, and I'm not just talking about, you know, being obsessed with standing on a street corner and preaching Jesus, but raising your family for Jesus, telling your kids about Christ, living out Christ, and as opportunity presents itself, telling people about Christ.
Amen.
I mean, our whole life needs to be about Him. I don't want to give just 10% of my money, 10% of my time. I want my whole life to be devoted to Christ. I don't want to compartmentalize my life and say, God's got Sunday. I want to give God my every day. But it's going to cost us something. It may cost us position. It may cost us fame and fortune. In Mark 10, 28 through 30, Mark 10, 28 through 30 says this, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." You know, Jesus didn't say, "No, you haven't." No, he didn't. I like that. You know, Peter opened his mouth here, but you know what? Jesus didn't rebuke him. You know what? Because I think Peter had left all. Peter left the nets. Peter was following Jesus. "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions." Let's clarify this. Yeah, the Lord's going to bless you, but it's still going to be hard. "And in the world to come, eternal life." You know what the blessing of that is? As Peter said, you know, we have left all. And the Lord says, you know what? I think the Lord is basically, by leaving that statement alone, I think he's agreeing with Peter. Peter had left all. But Jesus is making it clear, Peter, you're not the only one. There's no man that left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake in the Gospels, and that they won't be blessed a hundredfold. I think he's telling Peter, you know, I think he's agreeing with Peter. Yes, you have left all. But understand this, Peter, you're not the only one. Anyone that leaves all, anyone that leaves all for the gospel's sake will be blessed a hundredfold now in this time. And you know, when you truly have your eyes open to the spiritual kingdom of God and you are following Jesus Christ in your life, you can understand what that means. When they came to Jesus and they said, "Your mother and your brethren are without," and he said, "These are my mother and my brethren."
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you know, I've come to understand that. I've come to understand that my real family are those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him.
Amen.
You know, that's kind of, those are the ones I'm closest to. Right. Those are the ones that I have a kinship that's thicker than blood.
Amen.
It's thicker than the blood of man because it's the blood of the Son of God.
Amen.
And those are the ones I'm the closest to. And how great it is when it's both. You know, it's your family and spiritual kin in the Lord. But I've seen the Lord do that. I mean, I've left a family. I've left lands and I've left those things. But God has blessed me so much and my wife, my family so much. Well, we have many sisters. I have many sisters. I have many brothers. I have many mothers. I have many fathers that I look to up as a father and as brothers and sisters. And I have many of those for the gospel's sake, serving the Lord and following Christ and doing what He wants you to do. And with the gospel, I tell you, it's the greatest thing in all the world.
Amen.
Now, yes, along the way, there has been the persecutions. There's been the hard times. But I assure you, it's all worth it. Oh, it'll cost you a lot. But I tell you, their return is out of this world. It is out of this world.
Amen.
The Scripture is clear that we may have to leave all at times just to witness the gospel. But I assure you it's worth it. Now, let's turn back to Philippians, if you would. Back to Philippians. I want you to see some things about Paul. Book of Philippians. You know, what? As we said by way of introduction, what a great mindset. You know, in chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul talked about their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until then. In verse 7, he talked about his defense and confirmation of the gospel. And then he basically talked about his bonds of the gospel, you know, and how because of the gospel he was in bondage. Then he basically spoke about, he talked about their fellowship in the gospel. Called them, he said they'll be called to defend it. You'll experience some toils. You know, that's basically what we see in the first few verses. Now, this is the whole main thought of the purpose of this message we're coming to. We need to see things as Paul seen it. And realize that as we go through, that all we go through in this life is for the furtherance of the gospel message. Amen. Everything. And I believe that involves from the smallest thing that is maybe not a trial to the largest of trials. I believe that goes down from our blessings to our trials. Everything that there is in our life. You think about what all Paul went through. Think about what all Paul went through. He gives us a clear list, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 28. Now I want to turn back there and read that because understanding what Paul has just said in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1, listen, brethren, the things that happened to me have happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. Now did he resent that? Does he complain about it? No. I mean, Philippians, we know, is a very famous book and how much it talks about joy. I mean, he's in bondage. He's in the bondage of men, but he's free, okay? But he's in the bondage of men, and he talks so much about joy. I mean, it's where we find rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. He talks so much about the joy of the Lord, but yet he's in bondage to men in the sense that he's imprisoned. How can he have so much joy? I believe this is one of the keys right here. He knows that, yeah, that everything that's happened to him has been for the furtherance of the gospel. And when you can have that outlook on life, you'll be able to obey his admonition that he says later, which we'll look at in just a moment. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, he gives somewhat of a description of the things he's been through. Now think about the things he's been through, and he understands that everything he's been through has been for the furtherance of the gospel. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without." That's just what went on outside. I love that. "That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, that's what I'll experience without, and then not counting the work of the church on the inside I had to do. I'm glad those perils of robbers and perils of my own countrymen and perils in the heathen, perils in the, all that wasn't actually in the church, you know. So that was a good thing. But you know what? He said, I went through all this. You know, when he wrote to the church, the people of Philippi, and he's been through all these things. And he understands that up to this point, everything that's led up to where he's at has led to him being in bondage. And he realizes that all of it is for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. In Philippians, he speaks more about joy, as we said, in any other book, but yet he was in bonds. But he knows it was for the furtherance of the gospel. He was put in bonds due to the gospel. In verse 13, he says, "So that my bonds in Christ," Philippians 1:13, "so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." You see, people knew that Paul was put in prison for the gospel's sake. That's what he's telling you. He said it's manifest. The knowledge of me being in jail is manifest in everywhere. Why I'm in the jail, people know I'm in here for the gospel's sake. And because of such, he's telling us in verse 14, "many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." You see, he knew that not only has everything happened into his life for the furtherance of the gospel, but where he was at right now was going to lead to the furtherance of the gospel, because other men of God were waxing bold because he was in jail. And he was happy about it. I think he knew that all the brethren that were preaching the gospel were far more people than what he was. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he got more mouths. Right. He didn't mind himself going through the torture and the pain as an individual, because there were many people, many more people that were waxing confident and preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. What a man of God. I mean, you know, a preacher, the churches today, I tell you what, churches today, and maybe that aren't out there preaching the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, and pastors are burdened about that. Pastors are wanting their church to tell people about Jesus, and a lot of churches aren't. The churches aren't doing that. People aren't doing that. I tell you what, they come in here one day and they take your pastor out and say, we're going to put him in jail. He's preaching the gospel. We don't want that. I bet that'd revive the church a little bit. There'll be some of them say, you know what? We need to preach the gospel too. Pastor's not here no more to do it. We need to do it. Pastor would hear about that in jail. He'd hear about his church going out there telling people about Jesus Christ and defending the gospel and telling people about Jesus. He'd be in jail. He'd be going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The gospel's going out. People are telling people about Jesus. He wouldn't mind that at all. You know, I believe that Paul could really speak to these people that he's writing to about their sufferings. See, they were suffering people he was writing to. You see, because he had suffered. And so I believe part of the comfort that he was seeking to try to give them was this. Your sufferings are to the furtherance of the gospel. Now, you know what? When a child of God who loves the Lord and loves the gospel, you tell them that, that's going to bring them comfort. Sister, your illness is to the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
That helps, don't it? That helps a lot. Helps a whole lot. You lost your job for the furtherance of the gospel. How? Well, you're going to get another job. And you're going to meet different people. See, everything, I believe everything happens for a purpose. God is so sovereign and God is so intricately working in every part of our life.
Amen.
I believe every little thing happens for the furtherance of the gospel. Did you go somewhere today you didn't really wake up this morning and plan on going? In other words, you got up this morning, you end up somewhere, you thought, if you really thought about it, well, I didn't really plan on going to the store today. Well, I didn't plan on going down there today. I bet God did. Shouldn't bet, but you know what I mean. I bet God did. That's a sure bet right there. I bet you 101. you know, God planned on you going there today. You see what I'm saying? Every little thing in our life, and we don't think of our life being worked out in such detail by God. But I believe it is.
Amen.
I really believe it is. I really believe God is working in that much detail in our life that the smallest of things, that the circumstances and things happen in our life, I believe that God is working through them to bring us over here and over there and to meet this person. I remember when this thought of this verse came to my mind is when I first had my first back troubles and about 5-6 years ago. And I tell you, I was going through a lot of pain. I was in so much pain with my back. We were actually staying over in Missouri for a little while because I was having some treatment over there. It's when I was pastoring in Illinois. And I was getting up every morning through the week and going for treatments. And I tell you, I was in a lot of pain. And I remember thinking about this verse and God, you really began to get my mind wrapped around that. You know what? And the people, the nurses I was meeting and the doctors I was meeting and the people I was meeting because of my back, I realized that God was using that for me to meet people I never would have met before to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I remember one time I was feeling a little sorry for myself. I just went and had a treatment. And I tell you what, the treatments were not working. And I pulled in this gas station. I was in a lot of pain. And where I was at, normally I would have never been there had it not been for my back. I'd never been in this place. And I looked over next to me, and this young girl was sitting there in her car, just a bawling, crying. And there I was sitting there, and I looked over, and she's just a bawling, crying, just a weeping. And I remember that this thought came to my mind, God's got me right here, right now. I went over there and I knocked on her door, car door, and you know, she's all bawling, crying. I didn't want to be too much of a bother for her. And I said, Lord, just give me some quick word to give her. And I had a little track with me, and I just said, ma'am, I don't know what's grieving you and what's hurt your heart, but I just want you to know Jesus Christ is your answer, whatever you're going through in life. And I gave her a little track, and I said, I don't mean to bother you. I just wanted to tell you that. You know, God had me there. And then that was so moving for me just because of this, because I then seen my pain, my physical pain, as an avenue to move me to a certain place so that I would meet that dear lady and tell her a little bit about Jesus. You see, if we can see our life like that, God working in those kind of details, I think that we'll be a whole lot happier people.
Amen.
Now, the sufferings of the gospel. The sufferings we go through as a church with the gospel. I'm going to skip over some of this. But Philippians is also a great chapter when you're going to preach on unity, isn't it? It's also a great chapter when you're going to preach on unity. The sufferings of the gospel, I believe, bring a unity in the people of God. And I believe he talks about that in Philippians 1 and in verse 5. He talked about their fellowship in the gospel. He talked about their fellowship in the gospel and all of that. All through the chapters. In chapter 1 and verse 27, he talked about their conversation as it becometh the gospel. And then he said that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. Why? For the faith of the gospel. Listen, he was encouraging unity in the church for the faith of the gospel. Listen, the reason that the devil, that Satan, wants to destroy unity in the church is so that the gospel won't go out.
Amen.
But I tell you what, if there's anything that ought to bring this church together more closer, more knit, more oneness, it ought to be for the faith of the gospel. I mean, let's put aside our differences. Let's put aside the things that divide us. There's something far more important here than my preferences. There's something far more important here than what I want and what I desire, what my flesh is pleased with. It's the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
And the devil wants to get in and work and move and divide families and divide churches. Why? Because he's against the gospel. The gospel ought to bring us together. We have a great cause. We have a great mission. Church, come together for the faith of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater cause. And the devil wants to divide because he's against that whole purpose. Paul told him, Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He just kept on... trying to encourage unity in the church there time and time again. In chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16, encourage them to press forward and reach forth and so forth. But very famous passages there. Now, on encouraging unity. If there's anything at all that we need to be in unity on is the furtherance of the gospel. It should be our goal and mission as individuals and as a church to be to the furtherance of the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. Furtherance of the gospel. What's that mean, furtherance of the gospel? What's that mean? That the gospel would go further.
Yes.
Further than these walls. Further than, you know, just that person, but it might go to that person.
Amen.
You know, and when God saves somebody, yes, it's for their salvation and for His glory, but He saved that person also for the furtherance of the gospel, that they would then begin telling people about Jesus Christ. He's put you in His kingdom. And now you need to go and say, come see a man. I mean, He saved you for the furtherance of the gospel. That's one of the reasons.
Amen.
We're wanting people to be reborn, and we need to tell them about the gospel. That's our mission. Now, on into chapter 2, He gave the example of Christ in Philippians and the suffering that Christ went through. All Christ went through was for the what? Fulfillment of the gospel, wasn't it?
Right.
Christ went through everything for the fulfillment of the gospel. He bore it all for our sakes and never complained a bit about it, did He?
That's right.
Christ went through everything He did to fulfill the gospel and He never complained. Which brings us to our next main thought here. Let's read verses 8 through 16 in chapter 2 of Philippians. He says, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless as sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. You see, the one thing that was going to make him happy or anything was them to come together, to work together, to be like Jesus Christ, to walk humbly before God, and to hold forth the word of life, the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. That was going to make him happier than anything else, that he had not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Amen.
You know, what was it that led up to Paul saying what he did in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings? We pull that one little verse out sometimes, but think about all the things that surround, all the thoughts that surround it. He knew that they were experiencing some troubles. We know that due to the gospel's sake. So he has given himself as an example, and that he knew that all that ever happened for him was for the furtherance of the gospel. And of course, he's given them the example of Christ. One thing that should definitely put an end to our woe is me is to come to the realization that everything happens for the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
It'll just totally get rid of the woe is me. The mully grubs. You all know what mully grubs are, don't you? Yeah. They don't know what they are up there in the north. I was preaching one day and I said the mully grubs, and I mean 115 people went, what is that? Had to stop and explain what the mully grubs were. And some of you don't know, do you? I mean, that's depressed, you know. The mully grubs, you're down and out, down in the mouth, you know, mully grubs. And it'll get rid of the mully grubs. It'll get rid of them. Whenever we can learn to see, you know what? Instead of me being so depressed about this, because let me tell you, when you're down and you're discouraged, you're not going to talk to people about Jesus. That's exactly what the devil wants you to be. But when you're going through a hard time, you're going to say, you know what? Instead of me complaining about this, and I'm not trying to minimize your pain. I'm not trying to minimize, say, you know what? You need to man up, and you need to, you know, don't be. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you're going through pain and hard times. I'm not minimizing that at all. But try to look outside your pain and say, but Lord, how can I use this? How can I use this to tell somebody about Jesus Christ?
Amen. Lord, help. Amen.
Because that nurse you're having to go to because you're sick, they might need Jesus.
Right.
You know, I mean, you might have ran out of gas for Jesus. Now you're walking the road and somebody's helping you out. You know, I mean, if we just learn to look at everything in our life as the hand of God just moving us around. The good things, the bad things, it's okay. He'll be with us through the good and the bad, but it's so that we can talk to this one, talk to that one. And he's got other purposes too, not just for the gospel. He's working in us to be more like Jesus Christ. That's all part of it. God's got multi-purposes for the same thing. That's how good he is. But he's moving us around different lives. This situation, that situation. You know, if this wouldn't happen, they wouldn't be here. If that wouldn't happen, they wouldn't be here. God's working in your life. Open your eyes and see it. God's moving in your life. He's taking you places that you never would have been. Maybe it would have been for your hard times or your good times. But your good times aren't there just to enjoy and to relax and just, you know, your good times are there because I guarantee even in the good times, when you're on vacation or you're out there and having a good time, wherever you're at, you know what? I just have a feeling if you open your eyes, you might see an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. As we said, you may lose your job to the furtherance of the gospel. You may run out of eggs to the furtherance of the gospel. We just don't think of it like that, though, do we? But I believe it happens. I believe it happens. We will no doubt be able to do all things without murmurings and disputings if we know that it's all to the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll read one more passage in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, something Paul said over here. He says, but none of these things move me. He just talked in verse 23. He says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. I mean, he had testimony. You know what? You're going Paul had received special knowledge that he was going to be in bondage. He was going to be in bonds. It didn't bother him. But none of these things moved me, as was his response to that. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, you know what, I know these bad things won't happen to me, but you know, it's what God has given me this ministry, and I'm going to finish my course with joy. And he finished his course with joy while in jail for the gospel's sake. But he knew he was there for the gospel's sake. Don't you think Paul got to witness to some people in jail that he would not have got to witness to unless he was in jail?
That's right.
How would you like to have been a jailbird next to Paul? I mean, you'd have got it every day, wouldn't you? But you know what? God's doing that with our life.
That's right.
We may not be in jail, but you've got a job. You got people next to you. Or you are in situations. You're going places for a purpose. And I believe one of the purposes is for the furtherance of the gospel. Are we truly striving together for the faith of the gospel? Is it really our mission as individuals and as a church? Do we love the gospel so much that we're willing to be mocked and made fun of, willing to lose all worldly reputation, willing to be counted as fools, willing to go through whatever it may be, willing to give and to sacrifice our time, money, or maybe even our family? Can we honestly pray, Lord, help me to be willing to do and go through whatever it is if it means the furtherance of the gospel? Does the gospel mean that much to us? Does it really mean that much to us? It should, because the gospel is what saved us. It shouldn't mean that much to us to say, Lord, whatever it takes, use me. I remember the times, you know, you have those moments in your life where you just know you're yielding your all to the Lord. And you just want the Lord to use you in your life and make you more like Christ and use you to reach others. When the Lord gets a hold of you like that, you'll pray things, Lord, you'll pray things, Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, twist me, bend me, break me, whatever it takes. Lord, use me for your honor and for your glory, that I might spread the word of God, might be used of you. Oh, we need that. I need that. Because I'm not always there. I know I'm not always there. But may I be there more and more. Are you willing to go through anything for the gospel? That's a tough answer. Tough question to answer, isn't it? How about if you just go through what you're going through right now for the gospel? Maybe you're not going through any hard times. You know, God doesn't have to take us through hard times for the furtherance of the gospel, does He? But He does at times. But how about if you just learn each day to get up and say, Lord, let me see how you're working in my life to further the gospel. And may our eyes be open to see. You know, well, maybe this happened so I could talk to that person or that person.
Right.
May God help us to have that seeing eye to seize the opportunity.